following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
The road hates your engine. They are adversaries, enemies, foes. The road will attack your engine with dirt, dust, and grime through your air filter any way it can. Fight back. Reclaim the horsepower the road tries to steal. Every 12,000 miles, it's easy to change to a Fram air filter that keeps dirt, dust, and grime out of your engine. If it's on the road, there's a Fram that fits. Find your Fram air filter at your local automotive store.
Right now at the Home Depot, an exclusive Husky 33-piece mechanics tool set is a special buy. Just $39.88. Ratchets, sockets, and bits you can count on forever. Because that's how long they're guaranteed to last. Having the right tool for the job forever starts with a Husky 33-piece mechanics tool set for only $39.88. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star, from ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning and welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy Bushcutter, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Doug on, not a bad assignment. He's out at the Blue Gold Golf for UNK, major fundraiser for UNK Athletics. So that's where he's at. Can you call it working if you're on a golf course?
Yeah, that's working. He's working.
Yeah.
He's working for us.
Okay.
One of us had to do it.
He had to step up.
He had to step up and play some golf.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, attaboy. Way to fall on that sword there. But so Doug's doing that and helping out UNK with the Blue Gold Golf. And always a great event, a major fundraiser for UNK. Certainly wish them the best of luck. But a busy, busy weekend for sports. Here in town, they had the Nebraska Shrine Bowl. First time it left the city of Lincoln since 1960, and good turnout for that. Great event, and we'll be talking with Bill Carlin, the South coach, coming up here in just a little bit. Lots of baseball around the area, and of course, the Nebraska softball team went 0-2 in the Women's College World Series. Two heartbreaking losses, but they really acquitted themselves very, very well, losing the longest game played at the Women's College World Series since, 1994?
Isn't that something? You know, I'll tell you what, in baseball and softball, there's a lot of games that are decided by one run. And it's how you do in those one-run games, you know, that kind of dictate a lot of things, or two-run games, you know, in extra innings, and they just couldn't get over the hump on either one of them.
Well, and it was almost even one pitch, not just one play, but one pitch before the ball in the 15th inning went off the shortstop and brought in the two runs, and with that, it was a two-strike pitch that she hit. I thought third strike had already gone by, and the umpire called it a ball, and you get that strikeout. I mean, you get that call. I felt like the pitcher made the play. I felt like Nebraska's pitcher made the play, got the out. That just changes the entire dynamic from that point on.
You know, on instant replay, the pitch that they showed, and if that screen is correct, you know, that's
one thing.
You know, if they show you that little screen, and if whoever puts that little screen in, if that's correct, that definitely was a strike. You know, having said that, try to imagine what that umpire felt like behind home plate. That's a lot of pitches to see.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you hate to get, you know, you hate to have one of your pitches, you know, because she calls it a strike and it's a ball outside an inch, then it affects the game the other way. So I think the umpire tried to do as good as they could.
Oh, no question.
You would have ended that game in the seventh inning some other way.
Yeah. And again, you got to remember that you're exactly right. There is kind of that fatigue factor in there, and they don't have a dog in the fight. I mean, and these are the best umpires that college softball has to offer. So, you know, you hate that, but I'm just saying, it can just be, we always say that it's a game of inches. It certainly was there because I thought the pitch was made. They got him out of the inning, and it wasn't quite there. So.
Randy, that's a good line. It doesn't have a dog in the fight. I've always liked that expression. They don't have a dog in the fight. But you know what's kind of interesting, too, is I was with somebody, and somebody said that Florida had won that game about five different times. You know, this is about the fifth time Florida's got this game won. And heck, they had to get a play at third base to end it, you know. So.
Yeah, and sometimes you make a play, you win the game, and if you don't, you come up a little bit short. That was the case for Nebraska softball. Also the case for the South team in the Shrine Bowl, which was a great event in Kearney on Saturday. The final in that one was 9-3. And kind enough to talk to us about his experience is Bill Carlin from Adams Central, the head coach of the South squad. Bill, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, you've had a little time to kind of process everything and digest everything. Now you get a chance to look back on Saturday. How do you see the event? How do you, looking back at the game itself and the time you spent with the kids, give me your assessment of how that experience went for Bill Carlin.
Well, it was a great experience. You know, anytime you get into some of those programs like that, you know, if you can come out with about 75% satisfaction, I think you got to be happy. And this was way over the top of that. This was 90 or 95% of everything we did was just great. So, you know, I was really excited to have the opportunity. You know, there's only been 110 coaches in the history of Nebraska to be the head coach in this game. And for me to get that opportunity, I was very proud to accept and do that. I thought our kids were tremendous. We had great kids to work with. My coaching staff was just as great, and so I came out with a lot of positives out of that.
Hey, Bill, yeah, well-deserved. I mean, that was well-deserved in this central Nebraska area, south central Nebraska area. You've done a great job as a coach and as an assistant coach. You've paid your dues. I was glad to get to see you get to do that. Another thing about the game, I didn't get to go to the game. I was in Omaha at a baseball game, but I heard the wind was a big factor. Was that correct?
Yeah, it was. It was about 25 or 30 out of the northwest, and both teams got their field goals with the wind at their back, and, you know, it was kind of back and forth, but it really hampered the throwing of the ball and really affected the kicking game, so I really thought it was a big factor. We were hoping for a day about like Sunday was here. It was a little calmer, and we could throw the ball around a little bit better than we did.
Yeah, I think you're right. When it's windy like that, if you take some risk and some chances, all you do is generate offense for the other team. So, yeah, that's probably right.
Hey, Bill, being the head coach means you've been an assistant coach as well, which meant that you were an assistant coach when the game was at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. And obviously, changing of the venue, bringing it to Kearney, bringing it to Ron and Carol Cope Stadium, you're probably, as well as anybody, can kind of compare and contrast what those two venues were like. What was it like compared to playing in Lincoln when you played in Kearney?
Well, you know, to me, I've always been never been a big worry about what field you play on. I think any field works for me, and it's like if I'm coaching it, I don't really have that much of a difference with it. But, you know, playing in Lincoln was just the idea that you're playing where the Huskers play. I think that's part of that mystique of that place. I really thought the other day having a packed house was neat. I thought Kearney did a great job of putting on the activity. There was about 6,000 people there, and the place seemed full. You know, you get 10,000 people in Memorial Stadium, and it still seems empty. So I like the idea of having a full house. I think it makes more of a big game atmosphere than when you look up in the seats and you see 9 out of 10 seats don't have anybody in them. So I didn't have a problem at all playing here.
Let's delve into the game a little bit. I thought Central Nebraska kids really acquitted themselves very, very well. Luke McNitt played, a nice game at quarterback. Jesse Ackerman from Adams Central recovered the fumble that led to the one score that you guys had. And, again, a great effort in running the football from one of your better players that you've had, Jake Fowler. He did a nice job as well. Talk a little bit about the Adams Central, Kearney High, Kearney Catholic kids, some of those Central Nebraska kids and the impact that they had on the game.
I agree with you. I thought they played very well. We had two guys from Kearney High and Luke McNitt and Jackson Gannon, and Jackson was probably our best lineman on the offensive side. He really played well, I thought. Did a good job up front. Luke has a tremendous amount of ability. I mean, how many people play quarterback and win the state shot and discus and, you know, all those sorts of things that he can do? He's got lots of athletic ability, and is, on top of it, as good a football player as he's probably a better kid. The week I spent with him, I really thought he was one of our leaders, stepped out. He's one of those quiet leaders, doesn't have to do a lot of talking to let people know that he wants to get things done the right way, and our kids seen that. They elected him captain. As a matter of fact, he was our top vote receiver on that vote that we had. The guys we had from Kearney Catholic with Alex Lowe and David Squires, I thought both played very well on the defensive side. Just really hustled to the ball. I think they had great experiences. David's not a shy kid at all, and he likes to ham things up a little bit and have fun, and he has fun doing it. I think he starts out every day with a smile on his face and talking to somebody, so he has a good time. And Alex, I think he just must be around him too much because he's kind of quiet. He has to listen, I think.
Can't get a word in edgewise.
Yeah, exactly. From Hastings here, we had Tyler Rebarger, and he played wide receiver for us and did a nice job. And Tyler is just one of the nicest kids you'll ever meet. He's very polite. He's got a promising future ahead of him no matter what he does because he just looks at things in a very mature way, and I think he has a very good approach to life. And then my two boys from Adams Central, Jake and Jesse, I know what to get from them. You know, we talked a little bit about sharing starting time and this and that with different kids, and I knew Jake's answer before he ever asked him. He said, whatever you want me to do, coach. And so I kind of knew that was his response. He would do whatever we wanted for the team. And Jesse, I thought, had a nice game defensively. I thought he played middle linebacker. He's kind of fighting a little bit of what we think is a sports hernia, him and actually Tyler Rebarger both. So, you know, they're going to have some see some doctors here this summer here. I know Tyler's already has some things scheduled to get some surgery done and get his fixed. And so those guys played with a little bit of a handicap there, but did themselves well.
You know, about David Squires, I think you described him perfectly for everybody that knows him. Hey, Riley Chewmaker, just in the area, I know he had an interception for the other team there. Hey, could you just a little bit, just kind of, again, going back to the game, I think throwing the ball was difficult. Was it difficult for both teams? I know there was a touchdown pass thrown, but was it difficult for both teams to actually throw the ball?
Yeah, it really was, and I think part of the difficulty for us was I thought their defensive line was very, very good. You know, there's a write-up in the paper yesterday about the boy from Howell's, a Bezada kid, or however you pronounce his name. I think it's Bezada, but, he's going to Iowa and being a Division I player and stuff, but, whether Nebraska mixed out on him or what. And, he was really a nice player for him. The big tackle they had from Creighton Prep was a nice player. They had big defensive end from Elkhorn South, and I don't have all these kids' names. I know what schools they were from, but they were stood out, I thought, really, and did a nice job. The DeLuca kid, that middle linebacker from Miller North, is a fine athlete, and those guys just made it tough for us to run the ball. And where we wanted to run the ball and get play action going, we never really, I thought, really got our run established, and then that made passing hard. Where their defensive back could sit back and keep everything in front of them and just play pass first, that made it a little more difficult. And then you could not throw deep because of the wind, so you were forced to somewhat throw short, and it just didn't pan out our way. But they got good push up front and kind of flushed our quarterbacks. Their D tackles got more push than anything, and so I thought their D line started it all, but the wind did hamper us some, yes.
The North outgained you guys 308 yards to 114, and yet you guys were still in the game. There was a ball I can think of specifically thrown by McNitt that went off the intended receiver's hands that I thought was open, had a step on him. That could have been the touchdown, and then you line up for the extra point and the opportunity to take the lead. Again, being only a play away, is it frustrating? Or with these all-star games, is it not that important to win it, but rather just to kind of represent yourself very well?
Well, we wanted to win. Everybody that's competitive wants to win the ball game, obviously. But it wasn't our kids after the game, they weren't heartbroken like I've seen some of my teams when we've lost a semifinal playoff game or something like that. They knew they went out and tried to play their best and do what they could do and that sort of thing. But it was more for, they understood, I think, the purpose of the game was to help raise awareness to the Shriners and what they do to help children. And maybe somebody will say, hey, I didn't even realize what they were doing. And after seeing what they did and the advertising for their ball game and how they try to raise money, maybe I can make a donation or something. I think that's our purpose. You don't see advertisement to raise money for the Shriners hospitals. They don't have that in their budget. All their money goes to helping. They got 22 children hospitals and helping the kids that need help. So they don't advertise. So we're kind of like their advertisement when we do this kind of a thing. So we wanted to win the game, yes, and I was fighting right till the game was over. But when the game was over, it was done.
Bill, I think that's the perfect attitude to have, and I think that was well said.
Bill,
I just think that, they do a great job, and our kids, I think, got their eyes open when they went to Chicago and seeing the kids that are being helped and that sort of thing. So, but that's what I think All-Star Games are for.
Well, it was a great experience, and I'm with you. I thought it was nice to have the game in Kearney and have it at that environment where there just really weren't that many places for somebody to sit. I think if everybody that was standing would have sat, there wouldn't have been a room for anybody else to sit. I think they pretty well filled the place. And how was did the team kind of feel that energy with the kickoff and as the game began? I mean, did it feel like a pretty intense game atmosphere going in, or was it, let's just get through this and move on to the next thing?
No, I think both teams wanted to win the ball game. We had a banquet the night before, and I was kind of jokingly, when I got up to speak, I mentioned that a couple people had said something about go north and this and that, and then they introduced the officials, and I when I got up, I jokingly said, I thought I was at a North pep rally here. I did notice that all five officials were from cities that are in the north, and Tony Veland was there, and I said, so I have a feeling a little bit of what you might have felt like when you played Miami down in Miami. But I think everybody wanted to win the game. We were having fun with each other a little bit, jabbering back and forth, but nothing serious and just all kidding. And so I think it was a good time was had by both teams.
And you even broke out the a little bit of the back page of the playbook there a little trick play. You ran McNitt kind of on a little reverse and had him playing wing back or wide receiver and actually throwing a pass that, when that started to look, I thought it was going to work for you. And, again, you were just one play away. There was a couple of balls that I thought could have been caught that would have changed the game, and maybe you guys could have came out of there with a win.
Well, I thought so. We had to take some chances a little bit at the end there. We had actually ran that play in practice with Tyler Rebarger at the flanker, and I just thought we needed, if we had to throw it deep, Luke maybe could do it a little better, and so we threw him in there and gave it a shot. And then, actually, I thought if we would have just been a little bit more patient with our pass selection, we were running some routes, but we were running a check down route that was wide open almost all the time, and I kept saying, look at if nothing's wide open down the middle, look at the back swinging. And I thought we could have checked down a time or two and maybe got down to the 20 and then taken some shots at the end zone and at least kept it exciting rather than let them kneel down two times at the end of the game.
Yeah, well, Bill Carlin, Adams Central head coach of the South, congratulations. It was a great show. You guys acquitted yourselves very well, and I think it was a wonderful experience for all the young men who participated in it and the coaches and everything. And I think Kearney hosted it very, very well. But most importantly, and you mentioned it earlier, it's all about the cause and the work that the Shriners do.
Yep. Well, thank you, and thanks to Kearney. I agree with you. They did a great job putting it on, and I know the people I talked to from the Shrine office were very impressed and very excited about how it went.
Bill, thank you, too. Hey, thanks for being on our show before the game and then also after the game. We really appreciate it.
No problem. I enjoy it. Thanks for having me.
No problem, Bill. Anytime. Thanks for joining us. That's Bill Carlin, as we mentioned, the Adams Central head football coach and the head coach for the South team in the 2013 Nebraska Shrine Bowl. And again, it was a great event, and I think Kearney did themselves very, very proud with it. But most importantly, it's about the work that the Shriners do and all the work that they are able to do for folks who need that assistance. And if you need some assistance with a new vehicle, well, you've got the right place. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chevrolet Dodge Jeep Ram. You can triple your savings on all new vehicles. Customers are going to receive those rebates. They're going to have that Midway discount. And whenever you do that, you're probably not paying cash for it. So you have to have pretty good financing. They've got 1.9% financing for 72 months with approved credit on all new Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeeps, and Rams. No one else is doing this besides Midway. Pre-owned vehicle customers also receive that Midway discount and as well. So regardless of what you're buying and how you're going to be able to buy it, they'll be able to set you up with some great financing and some great options at Midway, a better way on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Check out their complete inventory online at thinkmidway.com. We'll take a break. We'll continue with more of the Doug and Eddie Show right after this.
The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com. Presented by AutoTrader.com. On the brink of elimination in Game 6.
Hibbert stuffs it on a pick and slip.
The Pacers survive with a huge win at home. Now the series heads to Miami with a trip to the finals on the line.
Kicks to James to the glass, laying it in.
Game 7 of the Heat and Pacers tonight, 7:30 on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com. Presented by AutoTrader.com.
Hi, it's The Herd. Don't you hate it when you're stuck waiting somewhere, like the airport, restaurant, doctor's office, and you're just wasting time? Drives me nuts. Now with GoToMyPC and your smartphone or tablet, downtime is the new uptime. You can access your entire office computer from even your mobile device. You can be productive, get work done, even if you're at the doctor's office, the airport, a restaurant. I love it. GoToMyPC turns any iPad, iPhone, Android, or Kindle Fire into your computer. It's the missing link, man. Edit or send any file like you were sitting at your desk. Use any program, even those you don't have set up on your mobile device. Go to My PC. Try it today. A special 45-day free trial just for my listeners. You visit gotomypc.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code Colin. Then you download the free app to your mobile device. Let's go to mypc.com, Try It Free promo code.
For today, expect mostly sunny skies, high temperatures to near 80. We'll have our winds becoming breezy from the south. Then for tonight, do have a chance for showers and storms developing, low of 59. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Michael Caro. Right now, 66.
Back here on the Doug and Daddy Show, time now for a Midtown Mark Cooler question. Midland University in Fremont is adding hockey as a sport. The question, they have it at UNO, now they got it at Midland. Should the University of Nebraska add hockey? What do you think there, Jim? Husker hockey.
Well,
the chant of Go Big Red for hockey.
I don't want to be a negative person on that, so I'm just going to say, yeah, go ahead and add it. But, I mean, you know, we got that bowling team, and, you know, I've never been to one of those bowling matches yet.
No.
Has your family got tickets to that? Or like?
No, I don't have season tickets for Nebraska bowling. No.
For Nebraska bowling? No. How do you get on that list?
I don't know if there is a list. I think you can buy some nachos, walk up, and watch them bowl. If I had to guess, I don't know. If you know they're bowling, I think they'll let you in the alley.
Yeah, you know, I know UNO's hockey's big. I mean, UNO, they packed that place, so I don't know. Maybe they should have it.
Yeah, if it's going to make money, why would it be a bad thing? But then you got to worry about some Title IX stuff, and that's a different story altogether. Well, anyway, enough of our input. Your input for the Midtown Mark Cooler question was 56% of you said no. 44% said yes. If you do it, you will hurt the athletic program at UNO. Because I think it would hurt them. So today's Midtown Market Cooler question, who will win the French Open women's draw? Will it be Victoria Anzareska? You know, though, Sharapova I can pronounce, okay? Serena Williams I can pronounce. These Russians.
Azarenka.
Okay, thank you very much. And
Radwanska.
Okay.
I don't know the first name.
Well, see, now you're making it sound like you know all this stuff, Jeff, and you don't know that first name because they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name there.
That's good, Randy. That's one of your better moments on this show.
That's kind of sad that's one of the better ones.
No, that's not sad. It's great. Way to go. Hey, buy a vowel. You're right. They don't have a vowel in their name. You know, when it goes NZ, it's really hard to pronounce, you know, so yeah.
Yeah, so anyway.
So if you're going to ask me who wins it, I don't even know anything. I'm just going to pick somebody whose name I can pronounce, you know. So
Serena Williams it is. There you go. All right. Hey, a name that we can pronounce is Tammy Linner. She is the coordinator for the Faces Rally that you've heard about on our stations. A great opportunity to help out the cause. And first, Tammy, thanks for joining us. Appreciate the time.
And it's Tammy Lanier.
Lanier. See, I can't even say that. Oh, jeez. Write that down. All right. There you go.
I'll let that slide.
All right. Please do. I wrote down E-R, and it's A-R, apparently. All right. There you go.
We'll call you Tammy. How's
that? That will work. Right. That'll be just great.
Well, I have to say goodbye to her later and to make sure that we update that. All right, Tammy, talk a little bit about Faces. What this is, the organization. It's a national organization, local chapter that you're helping out with your event, correct?
Yes, it is. We are located in Upland, Nebraska, and we raise money for children and adults with craniofacial deformities or differences, we like to call them. It sounds better. But they don't have to be born with this. They can say you guys are on your way home from somewhere and you have a car accident, a motorcycle accident, and you have injury to your face. We help those people too.
So reconstruction, that sort of thing. Why is this so important?
There are a lot of these children out there. People do not realize we have over 2,000 different deformities in National Cranial, and we have several in our own state of Nebraska that Faces helps. But you know, I would have to say that I help them because I don't have children like that. I don't have to, you know, go to the doctors, go to the surgeons, go to all over the country. These kids and families go all over the country to get surgical repair. And I can do it because I don't have to do that. My heart goes out to those families.
Now, is this, there's a billboard out there on Highway 30, a digital billboard. Is that right?
Greg Barney and his sister donated those billboards for us. And yes, there's pictures on those billboards of these children that we help. Some of them are, you know, pretty severe. You know, some people don't like to look at that, but that's the real thing. That's what we're about. That's who the kids that we help.
Now, if people can't help financially, is there other things they could do?
We couldn't do this rally if we didn't have other people. We have a lot of volunteers that help us. John Eckhart and myself are the ones that gearhead this. We are the event organizers. We go out and do the footwork on it, get all the backing and stuff. But if we didn't have our volunteers, we couldn't do it. So,
Tammy Lanier from the Faces Rally, she's the coordinator. How did this kind of get started? How did you guys kind of do this?
Well, John Eckhart was the main guy. He decided he wanted to do a bike rally, and this has been, will be 12 years ago, and he wanted to raise money for some organization, and he has a friend in Minden, Darren Haight, and his wife have a child that has cleft palate. Taylor was her name, and John decided, you know, that would be a good organization, a good place to start. And so he did some research and found out that the organization was located in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so that's kind of where the ball started.
And again, you guys have been doing this, for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the same sponsors, a lot of the same people have been around through the course of doing this.
Yes, they have. We do an auction and a raffle, and I've been going around last 3 years and a silent auction in the past, but in the last 3 years, I've gotten 80 sponsors just from Kearney area that's been helping us. You know, they don't have to give big items for this. If it's a raffle this year versus a silent auction, but just the little things, you know, they all add up. But we have a few large items this year that we're going to be giving a live auction for, a Traeger grill from Carl Stadler and Minden. And, oh, excuse me, it's not a Traeger, it's a Green Mountain. And a gun that we're getting also, some other high-dollar items that we'll be auctioning off.
That'd be very nice. And you have a band on Friday night, the M&M Sisters from Smith Center?
The M&M Sisters are entertainment. They're a couple. The one dresses up like Minnie Pearl, and the other one is called Erling Kepteheffer. And they go and mingle in the audience, and they have a kissing contest, and to raise.
Well, hey, sign up for that.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining, but we don't have the band. We have karaoke from here in Kearney. Bunkhouse Karaoke will be on Friday night, and the band, Whiskey Richard, will be Saturday night.
Saturday night, 9 o'clock, there as well. Kid games on Saturday afternoon as well. Beer garden both days, I believe.
Yes.
And Sunday events as well, breakfast over at Bob's Place, and church services and that sort of thing. It's a nice 3-day event that kind of ties together the charity, motorcycle enthusiasts, music, family, kids. Mm-hmm. What am I leaving out? There's a whole lot of stuff in there, including a fun run. There's a lot of stuff going on.
We have some large inflatable things from Grace Fellowship Church this year that we're going to be using for the, you know, the younger kids and the older ones. They're huge. I mean, Grace has the big igloo extravaganza every year on July 4th, and so we're going to be using those inflatables for the kids.
And there's also vendors as well, correct?
Oh, yes. Yeah. We have vendors for food and drinks and things like that in the park. And we have camping for those that want to camp in the park. We have a real nice park. It's underground sprinklers, which it's probably the best park in Franklin County. So when we have large campers that come in early, like Thursday night, plug into the electrical. Obviously, the sooner you get there, the sooner you're going to get electricity, because we don't have a whole bunch of outlets for that. But we've got it all for them.
Sounds great.
That sounds good. Now, will people be in tents and stuff like that? Will they be sleeping all around in tents? Is that kind of what the atmosphere looks like?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Sure.
We probably had 30 tents in the park last year. So
that'll be a lot of fun. If we want to help out, we want to sign up, we want to attend, give us some details on how we can do that.
Well, we'd be more than happy to have you come down and be there. You can go to facesrally.org to get more information on, you know, what we're doing. And you can also get the National Cranial Association's website on that our local website. But we're happy to accept any donations that you want to give. Financial is always nice. It's that much less running around that we have to do. But we're just wanting to help these children and these adults that need us. We don't give financial help we don't give help for surgeries. We give help for the out-of-pocket expenses. Like, you know, you have to travel to Texas to have surgery. We give you gas money. We give you motel money, food money, that type of thing. That's where we can help. And we also give you local teams, we call it doctors. Say if you have a cleft palate, cleft lip, you're going to need a team of throat, your nose, teeth. You're going to need those teams of doctors to help your particular child.
Well, it's great that you help out with the travel, because these are going to be long-term procedures after time, and a lot of that stuff that's not going to be covered by insurance.
Yes, that's for sure.
You know, we talked to a guy about, he was on the Shrine, football coach on the Shrine, and the Shriners do the same type thing, because I have a very close friend of mine whose son goes to Chicago on that, you know, so they have to go.
All right. Tammy, what have we left off?
Nope, I think you got everything.
All right, awesome, Tammy. Appreciate all the assistance and everything that that you help out with. You're doing a great job. And the Faces Rally coming up Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And if you don't know where Upland's at, it's a little bit south of Minden, about 12 miles, and then head a couple more miles out to the east. And they certainly have plenty of signs there. And a great organization. Give them all a tremendous amount of assistance. We're going to take a quick break. We'll continue with more of the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill in Hastings. We have the bar ready to go, the new menus are on the table, and now we're ready to staff the place for a busy summer. We're now taking applications for all positions, including front of the house and back of the house. No experience necessary, just bright, shiny faces. We're looking for the staff just as fun as we are. Apply in person at HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
I love the avocado on this Subway sub.
Yeah, well, I love it so much, I started this avocado Facebook page.
Oh, you should post a picture of my new avocado earrings, see?
Oh, yeah, they match this avocado sweater I just knit.
Oops, I forgot to lock my avocado.
Have you met my firstborn son, Avocado?
Everyone loves avocado season at Subway. Add creamy, refreshing avocado to any of your favorites or try it on the turkey and bacon avocado today. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only in participating restaurants. Facebook is a trademark of Facebook, Inc.
Here's a sad football stat. 70% of first-round picks never make a Pro Bowl. Look, football's a business, and like your business, you try to manage risk and avoid hassles. Here's a brilliant solution. Eliminate business hassles by moving your business to Regis. Your fully furnished, wired Regis office can be ready when you need it. It includes a receptionist, access to meeting rooms, state-of-the-art video conferencing, all with no long-term lease. Mention Cowherd when you call and get 2 months free. Call 1-800-OFFICES.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, expect mostly sunny skies, high temperatures to near 80. Lever winds becoming breezy from the south. Then for tonight, do have a chance for showers and storms developing, low of 59. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Michael Caro. Right now, 66.
Here on the Doug and Daddy Show, we've kind of talked about it in a very, very busy week for sports. Unfortunately, Nebraska's baseball team not in the mix right now, but that's wrapping up. The NBA Finals, well, they're not quite determined yet. We still have one team yet to get in. Game 7 tonight, a game you'll be able to hear right here on ESPN Radio, as it will be the Heat and the Pacers in Game 7. Who do you have?
Well, you know, I actually pick San Antonio on February 22nd on this show. Yeah, that's a, you know, but it wasn't like they were that long of a shot. But it's tough to go against Miami for any time, you know, because Miami was such a prohibitive favorite. In fact, some of these professional speakers that go and talk on shows like ours that are national known. When it was two games apiece and San Antonio had clinched, they kept saying, well, do you think they have a shot against Miami?
Yeah, and nobody was talking about the Pacers.
I mean, it's two games apiece. This isn't like it's 3-0, you know. So, hey, I had a question for you on I don't officiate hockey, but I do officiate a lot of sports. And Game 7, I was watching the Chicago Blackhawks play the Detroit Red Wings in Game 7. I think the game went into overtime just before overtime with about 3 minutes to go in regulation. There was a play, and it looked to me like there was a chance for Chicago to score before a fight broke out, or at least an altercation, you know. And I think you probably saw that, or at least saw it on replay. And did you happen to see it or not?
I didn't see it live.
Okay,
I didn't see it live. I did watch the tape delayed part of it.
I actually saw it live, and I was really surprised. I know in basketball, if a coach yells at you or something during a play and somebody's going in for a layup, you don't call a technical foul until after the kid has a chance to go in for the layup.
Right.
And I think soccer's the same way when they got a break. Now, hockey's got to be the same way, is it or not?
It is. You don't call the penalty until the team that committed the penalty has the puck. If you've got the puck, you're possessing the puck. You can pull your goalie, and you'll see it all the time, where they'll get an extra attacker on the ice if you can possess the puck, and you'll have that delayed penalty call. What happened, though, in that instance was they called the penalty on both teams. So it doesn't matter who's got the puck. A team that's committed to one of the penalties has the puck. You call it. The thing that explains it to me, though.
That's good. That's very good. You explained it to me now.
The one thing that got confusing for a lot of people was it was initiated. The contact between the two players was initiated. The first penalty was caused by the team that was on defense, and they got scored on. And so, well, he started it. Why did you take away our goal? They started it. Well, you know, you've had arguments with your kids. He started it. You know, the second guy that throws the punch gets caught too, and usually gets caught more often. They got it right in terms of penalties on both teams and when they stop the play, because somebody's possessing the puck. If you're going to call a penalty on both teams, somebody's got the puck. Time to blow the whistle.
Okay.
Now, sometimes they won't, though. I mean, you kind of have that because they do that in soccer, too. In fact, they may not call a penalty at all in soccer if the team that was offended has a good scoring opportunity. They may not call the foul at all. They'll just the referee will just kind of put his palms forward and kind of push his hands forward, just kind of saying, hey, we're playing on. Because this is your best chance to score versus giving somebody a yellow card and letting you kick it from, you know, 35 yards away instead of actually having the ball now in the box.
Well, yeah. I mean, because, you know, I mean, I've watched soccer. It was 2 years ago in the summer, and, you know, they'd be 90-minute soccer games. It'd be 0-0. I mean, I just, when I watched it, I thought, whoa, that was a tough call. And then I thought, boy, if I was officiating the game and made that call, and now we're in overtime, I'd be going, I mean, you know, it'd be really nice for me. It'd be really nice for me if Chicago would win this thing.
Yeah, which they did.
Yeah, because, you know, you're gonna feel like, you know, the guy that from the poor Cub fan, you know, that's.
Yeah. You know, oh, please don't blow this. Oh, please don't blow this.
That's right.
Oh, please don't blow this. Yeah. The official got it right. And Barry Melrose on ESPN, their main soccer analysis that they – excuse me, hockey analysis that they have on ESPN, he was absolutely right. And he's a guy that rode the officials pretty hard when he was a coach in the NHL as well. But he mentioned it exactly pretty much the same way that I said it. I mean, you call the penalty when the penalty occurs. If you've committed a penalty and you've got the puck, that's when action stops. So,
you know, the Miami Heat actually, I mean, and this is game 7 tonight, and they've got the, you know, the home court advantage, so they get to have the home floor. But in I actually think that Indiana, they've outplayed them. I think the Pacers have outplayed them. They may not win it, but they definitely, you know, have outplayed him, I think, in a lot of occasions during this. Now, there's been a couple times where LeBron has taken over. Mm-hmm. But there's been a lot of games that went down to the last second shot. And a lot of them went Miami's way. I mean, if Miami wins this, they're going to really feel fortunate that they won this thing.
Well, and again, I think the better team has been the Pacers, because LeBron has pretty much put everybody on his back, because the other two players just – they haven't really showed up for whatever reason.
Yeah, LeBron is definitely the best player in the NBA.
But
that doesn't mean that they're going to win. You know this, but it'll be really interesting to see what the backlash will be if they lose. You know, what will all the people say? Because, you know, in Las Vegas, when I was out there in Las Vegas, they were 3-5 to win the NBA. And, you know, San Antonio was like 6-1. That's how prohibitive of a favorite they were to win this thing. They won't be 3-5. It's just those two now. You know, they'll be a close. If they happen to make it, it'll be almost dead even with those two. Yeah.
And I don't think they'll blow up the team if they don't win tonight.
No.
I don't think they'll blow up the team. I don't think these guys are getting traded away. I think that'll get them more determined to do better next year and to win. I think they're afraid of having too much egg on their face. Well, we're talking a little basketball now. We kind of mentioned the hockey thing before. Now we have kind of a combination of the two. I meant to ask you this as well, but we got an email as well to ask you about how many, because again, that play in the Blackhawks game is pretty much a double foul. How many double fouls have you ever called? Have you called throughout the course of your career? How many double fouls have you called in basketball?
Very seldom do you call a double. Have I called double fouls? In the fourth quarter, late into a game or in overtime. I mean, if that's the question. Now, I have called some double fouls. In fact, I remember calling one double foul. There were two really good football players that played basketball. One was from Grand Island. One was from Kearney High. And the guy at Kearney High now is a police officer here in town. And these two guys were not going to back off. I mean, this is the first quarter, about the first 2 minutes of the game, and a kid from Grand Island, these two guys on the post, and they're going, hey, hold it. I'm not afraid of you. You're not afraid of me. And I called the double foul on them like within the first minute of the game because I'm looking at this going, hold it. I can't even decide who's doing what, but I know we can't play like this all day long. You know what I mean? So, so if I can call a double foul, I'd like to do it earlier in the game if you can. Now, if it's later in the game, you got to talk to people and get them going and stuff. So, I mean, but there's some times where you just get two players that, you know, are going to go after each other, or they're running down the floor. Somebody maybe got the worst part of somebody. I didn't see it completely. Somebody throws an elbow, and you're looking at it, and you're about ready to blow your whistle and call one, and then all of a sudden that guy will retaliate and throw it back. And then when you're blowing your whistle, now you got two.
Yeah.
You know.
So, you do run into that. Well, that's a little bit of what happened in the hockey play that we're kind of...
Except there was 2 minutes to go in the game, in a tie game in game seven. That's what I'm saying is, hey, I want to make sure I'm really, really right here.
Well, okay, here's the thing. If it's a foul in the first minute of the game, why is it not a foul
that's
in the last?
True. I've never agreed with that. I don't agree with that. I never... people can say that. They can go on and just, there's two teams out there. You got to treat everybody the same. Hey, if I'm reffing a seventh grade girls basketball game in an NBA final, I've got to be able to adjust to how I'm going to officiate that. You know, I mean, you know, is a seventh grade girls basketball game, is that a travel? What are we going to do when they're taking the ball inbounds? They're having a little trouble getting a hold of the thing and accidentally slips out of their hand. Are you going to give it back to them, let them redo it? I mean, you're going to have to officiate the game according to the age a little bit here, and you better be able to do it with the minute of the game, too. I'll guarantee you one thing. You got three balls and two strikes, and the base is loaded on the batter. All right, and they throw a pitch, and it's really, really close. I'm guaranteeing you one thing right now, it's a strike. The kid had a decision. The kid with the bat had a chance. You know, if it's that close and I can't decide, it's a strike. Now, another umpire, maybe he wants to call ball four. Not me. I'm calling it a strike because that guy had a chance to swing the bat. If he wants to leave it up to me, then it's a strike. You know, foul the thing off four or five times, then it might be ball four.
Yeah, good enough. I agree with you in terms of the age thing, and it is a little bit different because, for one thing, when you're officiating, you're establishing something, whether it be establishing the strike zone or what kind of contact is allowed, you establish it, and then you can always kind of loosen things up a little bit later. So I think you do make those adjustments. I think it's reasonable, and I've seen enough games where pick the sport that I kind of get that sense that you do officiate different later in the game than you do at the beginning.
You're a teacher and you're running class. You got school December 22nd. You're the only school in the state that has school that day. They're looking around. They're getting out at 2:30. You're probably not going to get a whole lot done from 2:15 to 2:30 that day.
Yeah. You have to make those adjustments in what's out there. I've had days like that, by the way. No doubt about it. But I'll tell you what, you won't have those problems or any problems if you have a T&L irrigation system. Say you're driving your pickup. You go, you stop over and over and over again, and it causes your pickup's internal parts to wear and tear, and now it'll cost you money to replace those parts or perhaps even buy a whole new pickup. Well, that constant starting and stopping is the same technology used in electric pivots. Over time, that'll cause those breakdowns, that lost time, and losing the money. So now's the time to make the change to a hydrostatically powered T&L pivot from T&L Irrigation. This has continuous movement, allowing even water distribution in even less waste. For years, proven hydraulic technology that you'll know and trust. And more importantly, it'll make your life easier on you. No hassles, no more dangerous electricity, no more production drop-offs from your crops. There is no more wasting of time, money, or water. The choice is simple with a hydrostatically powered pivot from T&L Irrigation Systems. Discover the difference by visiting your local T&L dealer, or you can go online at TLIRR.com. That's TLIRR.com. T&L, proven technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime. We'll take a break. We'll be back and talk a little baseball. We come back right after this.
I'm Doug Duda with the Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The Nebraska Danger are battling for home field advantage in the IFL playoffs, and after their bye week, they're ready to travel to Colorado to take on the ice this Friday night. Their regular season home finale is Saturday, June 15th against the Tri-Cities Fever. The NCAA baseball tournament continues this week with Super Regional action this weekend. The eight winners will advance to the College World Series in Omaha beginning June 15th with all the action right here on ESPN Radio. More All-Star games coming up this week, including the annual Shrine Soccer Classic to be held this Saturday in Hastings. The Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association All-Star Duel is this Saturday beginning at 1 o'clock at Grand Island Senior High. And some of the best area volleyball and basketball athletes will compete in the New West All-Star Classic to benefit the Nebraska Kidney Association Friday and Saturday in Minden. And that's a Sports Minute on ESPN.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your pain. We can handle all of your insurance claims. We're the quickest cure whenever your glass breaks. Glass Doctor, Glass Doctor. Call us 7 days a week and we'll be there. Your home, car, or business, or anywhere. Windows, mirrors, tabletops, we'll take good care of you. Glass Doctor, Glass Doctor. Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your pain.
Membership helps Strictly Bicycles keep business tuned.
Building a bike is like building a small business. With a bike, it's about weight, and a business, it's cutting costs.
The Plum Card from American Express Open offers an early pay discount or extra time to pay your bill with no interest.
It helps with my cash flow and lets me reinvest so I could put my money to work.
Find out more at open.com.
I'm Nelson Gutierrez, and I'm a member of Making My Money Work as Hard as I Do.
This is what membership is. This is what membership does.
Terms and conditions.
For today, expect mostly sunny skies, high temperatures to near 80. Lower winds becoming breezy from the south. Then for tonight, do have a chance for showers and storms developing, low of 59. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Michael Caro. Right now, 66.
So live your life. Hey. Hey. You steady chasing that big car, just live your life. Hey. Hey. Ain't got no time for no haters, just live your life. Hey.
Back here on the Monday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, Doug out at the Blue Gold Golf event that's raising money for UNK Athletics. And, it's good work if you can get it. Also, being an NBA star isn't bad work if you can get it as well. But Jason Kidd is hanging him up after 19 seasons as one of the best passing and rebounding point guards in NBA history. I don't think there's much of a question in my mind. Jason Kidd, Hall of Famer.
Definitely, and you know he played at California, I believe.
Took him to a Final Four, I think.
Yeah, I think he did. But boy, I'll tell you what a great passer! You know, he's one of those guys. If you played basketball with, you're running down the floor, he hits you with a pass, you didn't even know you were open.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, that's how good he was. And then Grant Hill, another one, right?
Yeah, he retired after, I think it was 18 years. He retired the other day. Kid making it official today. Grant Hill retired as well. My son Grant is not named for Grant Hill. He is not. However, I was seeing him with a commercial one time ago. Grant, hey, that's a That's a pretty good name. I mean, he was a great ball player. He's the guy that threw the pass to Christian Laettner in that double overtime win for Duke against Kentucky in the regional final back in 92. One of the greatest basketball games ever. And Grant Hill with a perfect pass at the end of the game. He had a solid game. He had a solid career. Is he a Hall of Famer?
I'm not for sure, but I know one thing. When Laettner made the shot, it sure made him famous.
Oh, yeah. Well, that got him on the Dream Team. That got him on the original Dream Team in 92. Right. They were going to have one college player in there somewhere, and Laettner was the college player of the year, so it made sense that he was on there as well. But Grant Hill, Hall of Famer. You take a look at his overall numbers over the course of his career. They're pretty solid, but no NBA titles, none of that stuff. He doesn't have that sparkling moment that a lot of NBA Hall of Famers have that you look back and say, that is the moment of his career. I can't think of one in Grant Hill's career where that's the moment.
You know, he had a great career, and I don't have the stats in front of me. You know, I really don't have the stats. I just know that Jason Kidd had a lot of assists. I mean, was he second?
Second all time, yeah. Yeah, in terms of assists in the career. And that's a fairly important stat, Nick.
Yes, it is. Bob Cousy had a lot of assists. Who is first? Who was it?
Stockton.
Okay, and he's going to be. I wonder how many assists Bob Cousy had. He had a few for the Celtics. And he made it. But this Jason Kidd, I think, is going to get in because of that. And, you know, probably would have got in even if he hadn't played these last 3 or 4 years.
Right. I agree. I think 5 years ago he still was a lock in. Phil Steele has announced the 2013 preseason All Big Ten team. The quarterback is Braxton Miller of Ohio State. Taylor Martinez is a second-teamer. Huskers that are on the first team is running back Amir Abdullah, offensive guard Spencer Long for Nebraska, and wide receiver Kenny Bell. So it is Abdullah, Bell, and Long. Three Nebraskas are on the first team offense for Phil Steele and the 2013 preseason All Big Ten. On defense, well, people are talking about Nebraska's offense, and maybe the reason they're not just talking so much about the defense is no Huskers are on the first team. On the second team, Siante Evans as cornerback. He is on the second team. So one Husker on the first two teams, and Ankara on the defensive end for Nebraska. He is a third teamer. So we got somebody on the second team, the one on the third team, and one on the fourth team. That is Andrew Green. So that gives you maybe a little indication of where Nebraska's defense is perceived to be heading into next season.
Hey, I'll tell you one thing right now. If you look at this thing, they're not giving Nebraska's players a lot of credit here. You know, I mean, if you're honest about this, that's not, you know, Taylor Martinez, second team quarterback. Hey, I got news for you guys. Braxton Miller, he's good. Taylor Martinez should have been on first team. He won a lot of games for a team late in the fourth quarter. I mean, what else did he need to do? He takes a lot of heat at Nebraska when Nebraska loses. Tell you what, without him, I wonder what Nebraska's record would have been last year.
In the improvement he made in throwing the football, he still looks – I think that's what's working against him. He doesn't look like a great throwing quarterback. He doesn't look – but I'll tell you what, his results this last year were dramatically better. There's one player I left off. I mentioned Amir Abdullah on offense. He's also the second-team kick returner or punt returner on the team as well. I think Abdullah could be very, very special as well. I think Nebraska's offense might still – even if the defense really steps up to a level I think we think that they can be at, I think that offense might put up enough points that people don't notice the defense as much either. Because I agree with you. Martinez running the option with Amir Abdullah. I like where we're starting.
Yep, I agree. And you know what? It'll be interesting with the defense. I think the defense will really step up. You know, they got embarrassed a little bit in that Big Ten championship game, and then they played a really good Georgia team and played them. I mean, really good. I mean, you know, it was they gave up a lot of points, but everybody else did too. And some really good teams that could play defense, like Alabama.
And just got an email in here. Until Nebraska wins the Big Ten, they won't get any respect. There might be something to that. Being the new kids on the block until you win it once, maybe you don't get that respect.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's, you know, about the respect. I think that email was a good one. And I agree with what that person said. There is no respect for that. Yep.
Well, While we're still on the subject of Nebraska football, the 2015 Nebraska schedule is out. We had the opponents and the weeks and things like that for the non-conference, but the conference schedule has been made. It'll start September 5th. It'll go in successive weeks in September. BYU, South Alabama, at Miami, and then Southern Miss. And then the Big Ten schedule on October the 3rd, 2015, Nebraska will be at Illinois, then host Wisconsin, at Minnesota, Northwestern at home, at Purdue, then Michigan State, and then at Rutgers. Allow me to wrap my mind around the idea that they're in the conference again. On November 21st, they'll have a bye, which will allow them to have that game against Iowa on the 27th, which is a Friday. When they host Iowa, they'll actually have that previous Saturday off, which I think is Nebraska always had that when they played on that Friday after Thanksgiving. They always had the previous Saturday off so they could kind of get rested and ready for that game. So that is the schedule in 2015.
That's a lot tougher schedule than we're going to have for a while because we're at Miami and we're playing BYU. Is that correct? And
yeah, hosting BYU.
And Southern Mississippi has struggled lately, but, I mean, if they get that program back, that could be a tough game. When we scheduled those guys to play Southern Mississippi, they were always knocking off somebody in the Southeastern Conference or knocking off somebody big time and had a lot of success.
Yeah, they've been – that hasn't been over the years been a real gimme game there. There's usually a lot of speed that they have on the field. We promised you we'd talk a little bit of baseball. There are five games scheduled today, and all of these games. It is a winner-take-all kind of situation. South Carolina right now with a 4-2 lead over Liberty. That game was called because of rain and darkness. So they're going to pick that up in the top of the fifth. That'll be this afternoon. And then later on, second-seeded Georgia Tech will take on Vanderbilt. Vandy's the one seed there. Oregon a one seed. They'll hope second-seeded Rice. Those are a couple of regulars that you see at the College World Series. North Carolina, the number one seed overall, is hosting Florida Atlantic. That game will be tonight. And then Mississippi State, also a one seed, will be taking on Central Arkansas, the only four seed left in the tournament. And that'll be a winner-take-all kind of deal. So far, only one seed has been knocked out of the tournament so far. So the seeding committee certainly did their job. Indiana is into the Super Regional already. So there's a... I don't think we're going to have too many Stony Brooks in this year's tournament. I guess Central Arkansas and Liberty are the two teams that have the best shot at it. But again, Liberty right now is already down by two runs in the fifth inning as they start that game later today.
You know, the guy on our show, we had a guy that knew quite a bit about NCAA baseball. I don't remember his name, but he was on last week. And he gave about four selections. One of the games he said a team you better watch out for was Central Arkansas. He said they're, you know, they got a lot of seniors on their team, and you know they're still alive. They're the four seeds. We kind of predicted that one correctly.
So they are right there, and I think all those games are either going to be on ESPN2 or on ESPNU through the course of things. And to me, it's interesting how far this has evolved because I remember distinctly when Nebraska was in the College World Series. Maybe they weren't. I don't know. But we were on a trip through Colorado, and we stopped at the convenience store or something like that, and they had the TV on, sports TV on there, and I said, who won the baseball game between whoever and whoever? You know, being a Nebraskan and following the College World Series, well, I don't know, they're still playing baseball? I mean, when you're in Colorado, I don't think they follow it, but with the College World Series being in Nebraska, I think there's a lot of folks in this state who really appreciate college baseball, and not just when the College World Series is going on. They're interested in kind of seeing that process of who's going to get in.
You know, when it was at Rosenblatt, there were people that actually their vacations kind of were set up beside that, not in Nebraska. I mean, Nebraska, we just went to Omaha and back, you know. But there are people that really enjoyed that, and it's now such a big event. It's kind of a big time deal.
Yeah, and you always like it when LSU is still alive, and they are, because they'll feed you. You walk by somebody in LSU, they tailgate like nobody else does, and there'll be some pretty good grub in Omaha if LSU is able to get their way past Oklahoma. Oklahoma, by the way, the only two seed that has advanced so far. The rest of them are number one seeds.
Randy, do you buy an LSU T-shirt and then just walk by them and then make sure they feed you?
They don't. You
they
can
don't,
wear.
They don't need it.
Oh, you can wear a Husker shirt. You're good. You're good. You know, as long as you're not wearing an SEC conference,
yeah, don't wear an Alabama shirt.
Don't wear that Vanderbilt hat. Don't wear that Vanderbilt hat. Don't wear your Alabama hat. You're gonna be fine. They'll feed you. They'll take care of you. I love the LSU guys. It's a lot of fun, and one of the reasons why it's such a great event, the College World Series every year in Omaha. Hey, Jimmy, appreciate the time. It's always good to hang out with you, man.
Yeah, Good job today.
All right. We'd like to certainly thank all of our guests today. Bill Carlin, who was kind enough to join us, and Tanny Lanier, who from the Faces Rally, talking to us about what they're having down in Upland on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And hope you guys can make that there down in Upland, just a little bit south of Minden. We'll be back again tomorrow. Doug will be back from his work trip at the Blue Gold Golf, and certainly hope that things are going well for the Lopers with that fundraiser as well. Doug and Daddy Show back again tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Radio. We'll talk to you then.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.